throughout the nation and around the globe. From his heart to yours, it's Dear James Live, bringing you intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions.
Hello, beautiful soul family, and welcome to Weekly Wisdom and Insights, your home for spiritually guided transformation and empowerment. I am your host, Dear James, and together with the Unseen, Spirit, Source, and Symphony, we look at the current energies, the intuitive wisdom and guidance, and we go as guided. And here we are in the middle of March. We were off last week, and the energies are quite active. We just had on Sunday the Pisces new moon. We have coming up on the 25th of March the Libra full moon, which is also going to be a lunar eclipse. And so we're literally in this window, this really active, volatile window. And volatile meaning good. It's energetic. It's energy. And so let's dive in. Let's jump in because there's so much to cover. And since we were off last week, we're going to be compressing, and you're going to see that theme. And let me just bring that up first. I'm going to show you the astrological chart for the Pisces new moon that occurred on Sunday, the 10th. And as you can see on the left-hand side in the circle, the astrological wheel, this is by astroseek.com, the astrological wheel is, you see this, all the planets. I mean, there's an enormous amount of the planets are all compressed between Pisces and Aries. Pisces is the end of the astrological year. Aries commences the astrological year. And then, so you see, and Pluto is way out on the right there in blue. If you come further down, all the way down, you'll see the red and the green. That's Jupiter and Uranus. So Pluto, Jupiter, and Uranus are bookending all of this activity in the middle, in the center. And then on the far opposite side, you see Lilith and you see the South Node. So we'll get to all of that, but the issue is, and it's set up, when I saw the chart for the Pisces new moon in this month of March, in this Pisces era, this Pisces season, there was this, the theme immediately came. And let me just bring up our main theme, a planetary pileup. And then I heard shake, rattle, and roll. And so, and you'll see on the screen, there's an image of a complete, this full moon lunar eclipse. And that humans, people, are standing there looking, hopefully with their proper glasses. But the point is, this new moon opens the window to the eclipse season that's coming up. The lunar eclipse is on March 25th. The solar eclipse is on April 8th. So there's all of this planetary pileup, this energy. And a pileup is an accumulation, an increase in quantity or cause something to increase in quantity. A group of people or things which have piled up on one another. So that's pileup, this planetary pileup, an accumulation. And then we have shake, rattle, and roll. And when I heard that, the shake, I heard like what I felt was seismic events, shake, seismic events, rattle, higher consciousness. It's going to be like shaking the roots, shaking the tree, this higher consciousness. And then the roll was about go with the flow. And so with our main theme of a planetary pileup, shake, rattle, and roll. And there's a lot, you'll see with the Sabian symbols and that correspond to the astrology of the Pisces new moon. And I said to the Unseen, what's the moral of the story? What is the actual message here? And it came, the main points is truth and action. This, and we'll see about truth and action, transparency, purity. And then they also said, it's the future versus the past, success versus failure, new versus old, what we are releasing versus what we gain. And so that's the moral. The moral of the story is truth in action, future versus past, success versus failure, new versus old, what we're releasing versus what we're gaining. And so keep that in mind. Keep these morals of the story of the energies this week in mind as we go through all this. And welcome, Olivia, as you're joining. Put a shout out in the comments, say hello, and remember to put your comments in. We'll incorporate them throughout the broadcast. And the first thing that the unseen said as we dive into all of this, and we're going to talk about Pisces season and the eclipse season and an aspect with Saturn and Ceres. But the first thing they said is, actions speak louder than words, exclamation point. And here we have this overall moral of the story, truth and action. And let me just bring up we had this 2 weeks ago, but it's so appropriate for this week. And it's a verse from 1 John 3:18, and it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." So there's this whole thing about it's not about lip service. It's not about passive aggressive. It's not about passive do nothing. It's about truth and action. And to be truthful means to be authentic. We've got to be authentic. It's not an alternate reality. It's not alternate facts. It's truth and action. And remember, the truth speaks for itself. So here the unseen is saying, actions speak louder than words. And then they said, begin, pursue, act, renew. And so what does that mean? In our individual lives, it's about taking stock. It's about taking responsibility. It's about being honest and truthful with ourselves and with others, and then taking each necessary step to effectuate, you know, the joy, the outcome, the world we wish to be, to live in, to see. Truth and action because of this planetary pileup. So it's, again, I'm going to bring this up really quickly. I'm going to keep bringing it up, but it's just to see all of these planets compressing. And of course, the fast moving ones, you know, the moon has already moved on. It's in Taurus as of yesterday or today. Mercury is already in Aries, but you'll see that Venus just came in. So there's this planetary pileup, and Mars is going to follow right behind it because they're the interpersonal planets. So they move faster than the outer planets. But the point is that there's this pileup, there's this kind of convergence taking place. And let me just show you with the astrological influences. So on Sunday, we had the new moon, Pisces new moon at 20 degrees Pisces. Monday, Venus enters Pisces. And you're going to see this is where Venus is exalted, meaning she's in her home. She's in her home. It's like, and we'll come into that. On the 17th coming up, this coming Sunday, is the Sun Neptune Kazemi. And again, where you get bathed and cleansed. Neptune will get bathed and cleansed, and we'll see this in a second. And then again on the 25th coming up, we've got the full moon lunar eclipse at 5 degrees Libra. Harmony, balance, justice, relationships, and so forth. And then way out, we still have on April 20th, we have that Jupiter conjunct Uranus moment, which is really great. So let's jump in then and look at, I'm going to bring up and share my screen with you all, and we're going to take a look at astrologer Chani Nicholas's, it's called The Weekly, issue number 8. And she is talking about, here we come up. And she says, Pisces season reflects a time when our defenses are weakened, when we are rendered more vulnerable, overextended, and hopefully a little more compassionate. Because Pisces melts away, you know, it softens us. It's the gooey inside of us. And this is why she's saying we're weakened, our defenses are weakened, because we become more vulnerable, meaning our soul self, more of ourself, compassionate. Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. It is the end point before the wheel begins again. It is a cocktail of all that came before it and a kind of cosmic melting pot, because again, it completes the astrological year. On March 17th, one of the more important transits of this season will occur. the Sun and Neptune will meet up in the final degrees of this water sign to form what is called a Kazemi, being in the heart of the Sun, in the heart of. Neptune is a planet of delusions, fantasies, ideals, divinity, intoxication, escapism, reverie, and bewilderment. Pisces is known for its boundarylessness, mysticism, and penchant for shape-shifting, evaporating, converging, feeling, crying, and waxing poetic. It wants to become one with something greater than itself and often attempts to do so by merging with everything around it. Wounds, worries, wonder, and all. You could say that Neptune and Pisces are a perfect match or an overindulgent one. So there's going to be a need here to remember that in our feelings, it's wonderful. We absolutely want to be in our feelings, to let our guard down, you know, to truly be our authentic selves. At the same time, be mindful of not of overindulgence, of not taking things to an extreme, all in moderation. She goes on to say, Chani Nicholas goes on to say, moments in time that have a hefty Piscean signature, such as this week, often align with events that detail astounding altruism and loving kindness, but they can just as often align with confusion, burnout, deception, and sacrifice. It's like, which wolf are we feeding? That's the moral of this. It's a slippery setup which teaches us that little can be taken at face value and we need to prioritize our boundaries. So again, be mindful here of where we are giving away our power. Are we too in our emotions and feelings that we are losing sense of ourselves and our ability to manage and take each next step? She says, a saving grace, Venus in Pisces. So Venus enters Pisces. On March 11th, 6 days before the Neptune Kazemi, Venus will join the Sun, Saturn, and Neptune in Pisces. Because Venus governs beauty, art, culture, curation, love, relationships, and pleasure, and because Pisces is the sign of its exaltation, all things it represents are meant to be in superior prominence now. Venus in Pisces signals a time when love flows on tap. What an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. Think about it. Love flows on tap. Oh, what the world needs now. Love, sweet love. I mean, it's that type of moment that is needed. This could sound like an incredibly insensitive prediction to give to a world that is ravaged by war, famine, genocide, and violence. But she also hopes that it can lift our spirits and direct our attention to the sweetness amid the bitter. Venus in Pisces heralds a time when the necessity of beauty, love, and connection and the healing power of art reign supreme. So this is a supreme moment. Venus in Pisces, where the altruism, the purity, the truth, and the action that's required with that is present. It's on tap. It's accessible. And let me just go into the second thing that the unseen said. Because with this, so Venus, Pisces, this love on tap and everything, and they said it's the song, Bill Withers, it's the song Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. And immediately, of course, I love the movie Notting Hill and, you know, Julia Roberts, Hugh Grant. There's a scene in the movie where he, you know, they have gone apart again. And, you know, he's walking through the market there in Notting Hill. And the song is playing in the background through the seasons. Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. The other thing that came with that is divine feminine, and then this image of Demeter and Persephone, and how when Hades captured Persephone, the daughter of Demeter, and took her to the underworld, that she was so filled with pain and she was morose, that it's why we have quote-unquote fall and winter, because she stopped overseeing fertility and abundance and all of this. And so there was this message of, so Venus representing love and beauty and altruism and goodness and everything, ain't no sunshine when she's gone. and that there's no sunshine, and the divine feminine, representing the divine feminine, it does not mean solely the feminine, meaning women. It means the divine feminine aspect in all of us. When the divine feminine is absent in us, is degraded, diminished, ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And so, for all the men listening, for all the women listening, it's the divine feminine aspect. And because what the unseen was saying is that it represents hope, goodness, purity, love, fertility, abundance. And what the world needs most at this moment is the return of this divine feminine aspect within all of us, within the whole of the whole. So let's move forward to, I'm going to share my screen again, and we're going to go to Pam Youngin's North Point Journal, another wonderful astrologer. And she is speaking to, in this beautiful image, and it's by Conger Design from Pixabay on Pam Youngin's North Point Journal for this week. And she says, eclipse season. With the Pisces new moon behind us and a lunar eclipse full moon less than 2 weeks away, we are now at the entrance to eclipse season. During this six-week portal, events and changes occur that bring our lives into stronger alignment with our soul's path and greater destiny. See, eclipses eclipse things out of our lives. They bring so that we empty the vessel, we bring in the new. What we are releasing versus what we gain. And so, and this alignment with our true path and purpose, our destiny, and this truth and action, it's the way we get there. It's through truth and action. It's not through the shadow elements. It's not through lies and manipulations and delays and procrastinations. And, you know, if we want, when we want the life we want, we must earnestly seek it. We must earnestly, truthfully, earnestly act. And that's the way this all comes about. This is the way it merges. She goes on to talk about Saturn and Ceres, Saturn the great teacher. Saturn in Pisces is exactly sextile the dwarf planet Ceres in Capricorn this week. This very favorable influence is of special benefit during these times of uncertainty. It's influence and uncertainty because we're ending and beginning. You know, we are switching over both the astrological year and the great epic from Piscean to Aquarian and then the astrological year. Its influence has been with us for at least a week, and will be strong throughout the coming week. Saturn is a responsible, realistic planet, while Ceres is named after the Earth Mother Goddess and represents our capacity for nurturing and self-worth. When these two work together, there is a nice blending of archetypal, paternal, and maternal influences. See, divine masculine, divine feminine working together. This balance, harmony. So think again. We're coming up here with this Libra full moon, balance, harmony, justice. We are able to attend to both the need to be self-sufficient and the need to have a support system. While the Saturn-Ceres sextile is in effect, we have the opportunity to establish a more stable emotional foundation for ourselves. This is going to be important. Emotional stability, emotional intelligence. It means we're invoking our soul source connection to navigate chaos, the storm, the transition. This influence also enables us to manage sensitive issues with more objectivity. To assist in this, we may want to create a routine that includes daily self-nurturing and time to connect to our essential self, especially if we have tended to be overly focused on work and outer world responsibilities. So if we're all in the ego mind personality, we need to rebalance. We've got to bring it back into harmony and create new routines in our day-to-day. And just the simplest thing, create new activities in our day-to-day. Shift one thing each day. Wake up differently. Do the first thing differently. Insert something into your day that pivots so that it alters and creates a daily self-nurturing regime. It doesn't have to be repetitive, meaning the same thing over and over again. Simply the act of creating anew each day becomes your mantra and your action, your regimen. The Saturn-Ceres aspect also gives us a better understanding and compassion for those who are struggling. It helps us support and care for others, but in a way that enables them to take ultimate responsibility for their own well-being. Any attempts to rescue someone or to take on their problems for them are not likely to have positive results. See, this isn't about being the hero. This isn't about saving someone else. That's an inside job. We're meant to show up and take action. We can assist, but from a way that empowers others, not that allows them to become dependent upon us. That's not the moral of the story. Truth in action is. So shake, rattle, and roll is. Let's now move into, I want to bring up our mantra, and it's so beautiful. It's a beautiful lion. You know, opposite Aquarius is Leo, and it's have courage and be kind. This is a theme throughout the most recent, I think, Disney Cinderella movie, this have courage and be kind. And there's such power and truth, and you see the lion, you know, here, I mean, it's full regalia and yet completely composed and relaxed. It's the courage speaks for itself. It just is. And there's this be kind. See, it's not ferocious. It's not attacking. It's not devouring. And this is true of ourselves. Have courage and be kind. Because when we are sovereign, when we are in our sovereignty, connected to it, we don't need to yell and scream and intimidate and browbeat and oppress and suppress. It's bull. It's ego mind chatter. It demonstrates the shadow, the insecurities. And when we just are, it's so empowering. It's about surrender. When we're that surrendered, we're that empowered. Because nothing, that's an illusion. We see the illusion for what it is. And so we walk with grace. We walk with courage. We walk with kindness and strength. It just is. So it's a beautiful mantra for us this week. As we move, let's move into, put my specs back on, and we're going to move into this, the Sabian symbols. Sorry, I had a little mental glitch there. And let me just bring this up really quickly, sorry. On the astrological influence, you see that the message is about reinvention. And reinvention is the act of producing something new based on something that already exists, or the new thing that is produced. So there's, again, with this planetary pileup, shake, rattle, and roll, truth and action, there's this reinvention, this act of producing something new based on something that already exists, reinventing ourselves, reinventing the world we live in, this reinvention. And so now let's move forward, and we'll see how this works with the Sabian symbols. Because the first symbol up, and you'd want to talk about a powerful symbol for reinvention. So on the astrological wheel, just show that really quickly, it's Pluto sitting up there at 1 degree Aquarius. The Sabian symbol is 2 degrees Aquarius. And so it says, an unexpected thunderstorm. This is for the Pisces new moon. So an unexpected thunderstorm. The need to develop the inner security which will enable us to meet unexpected crises. An interesting connection can be made between the symbols of Taurus 1 and 2 degrees, a clear mountain stream, and an electrical storm, and those for Aquarius 1 and 2. 270 degrees apart, a waning square in the terms of a cycle of relationships such as the astrological lunation cycle. In the first case, we deal with energies or activities that can be related to the natural development of the individual. But here, we are primarily concerned with social, collective processes and the function of the individual within them. Aquarius is we, the people. And so it is how we as individuals, the I, it serves the we, is a part of the we. Um, The symbol itself, an unexpected thunderstorm, could be given a very positive meaning in an arid environment. But the emphasis on unexpected tends to accent the sudden and dangerous character of the event. Such a thunderstorm in a region of dry hills can cause a devastating flood. At any rate, it refers to an event for which one is not prepared. A planetary pileup, shake, rattle, and roll. A menace to men's works, to humankind's works. This scene stresses the fact that nature may reduce to impermanence the seemingly most permanent endeavors and constructive activities of humankind. Under a downpour of rain, adobe brick can return to mud. All human institutions and their achievements can be washed away, even in their day of great glory. Dust you were, dust you must become. This is nature's challenge. So to every individual, company, business owner, government, institution, the message here is about nature, unexpected events, impermanence. And remember, to go roll, to go with the flow. Be proactive. Do not be set in your ways. Take stock. Look, because this is about reinvention. This is not about recreating the wheel. This is about dismantling it so that there's reinvention, there's renewal that's based on something that came before. But it's all about the new. It is not about maintaining the old institutions, old structures, old foundations, old ways of thought. That's all over. The Piscean era is complete. It's over. It is the Aquarian age. This time for, because number four, it's foundational. And they said, the unseen said, there's a mission, ... and we're on it. Success is assured. And then they reminded me of the image, and bringing it up, of this accelerated blast off. So, and it's number four, it's foundational from the unseen. So they're saying to us, there's a mission and we're on it. And this applies equally to our individual lives. So don't think for a second that, you know, that here we are in our human flesh and bone bodies and everything, and that we're just, that's it. It's just our ego, mind, personality, our flesh and bone bodies and blood, and that's it. No, there's a higher hand. There is an entire unseen guiding us. There's a mission and we're on it, meaning they're with us. And so to invoke that, and that it's invoking an accelerated blast off, this leap year, this leaping forward, and how nature's challenge, this Sabian symbol, and it's Pluto. It's the French and American revolutions, the industrial revolutions. It's going to advance us in an accelerated way. With Mars, the next symbol is with Mars. A disappointed and disillusioned woman courageously faces a seemingly empty life. I love this symbol for the simple fact it's Mars, divine masculine, and it's talking about a disappointed and disillusioned woman courageously faces a seemingly empty life. Meaning, it looks as though, will her turn, will the divine feminine's turn ever come? Will we ever rise to this state of Libra and energy, justice, harmony, balance, and the rightful return of the divine feminine? The keynote for this is the capacity to meet emotionally upsetting experiences in human relationships with strength of character and personal integrity. So here again, that lion, have courage and be kind. Strength of character and personal integrity. Truth and action. Nothing, none of these messages are speaking to deception, illusion, nefarious actions. They're speaking about purity and truth. Divinity. And this symbol urges us to develop resilience under adversity. Because it will triumph. It, meaning the divine feminine, the return, these the woman courageously facing this disillusion and disappointment. It's resilience under adversity because she does triumph. We do triumph. The Aquarian age does arrive. It does supersede the Piscean era. And thereby, and we do it with grace and courage and tenacity and joy. Joy. Let us celebrate the return of the divine feminine in all of her beauty, her goodness, her strength, her nourishment, her care. Because the divine masculine without it runs amok. It runs roughshod. It is not in its highest purity without her. When they're together, it's a power couple. And power couple meaning the most balanced and harmonic. And this is true within ourselves. So as much as we see this externally and businesses, institutions, governments, it applies. When we are harmonic like this, there's nothing that we cannot accomplish in the most positive, nurturing, beneficial way. Absent that, it's mayhem, chaos, and destruction. And we get to choose. Next up is Venus. Her symbol is at 29 degrees Aquarius, a butterfly emerging from a chrysalis. The capacity to utterly transform the character of one's consciousness by radically altering the structural patterns of everyday living and the types of relationship one enters upon. See, this is about transformation, metamorphosis, and it's also about, I love this piece, and by radically altering the structural patterns of everyday living and the types of relationships one enters upon. It's recognizing our patterns. It's recognizing why we do things, the shadow aspects, and then correcting them. This is the second time within a very short span of the cycle that the butterfly symbol appears. Here, what is emphasized is the process of metamorphosis itself. It is the fourth symbol of a fivefold sequence, and it stresses the essential character of the activity required at this stage of the cycle. Nothing short of a complete renewal of all the implications of being alive as a human individual will do. See, this is, we got to toss, shake, rattle, and roll. They're shaking the roots, the trees, the foundations, because nothing less than this, nothing short of complete renewal will do. A radical change is needed. At this stage, this change is individual and mental, and it should be seen against the background of humanity as a whole. What is revealed is the potential ability of every human being to participate in a higher realm of evolution after their emergence from a critical state of transition. So what is revealed is the potential ability of every human being to participate in a higher realm of evolution after their emergence from this critical state of transition. The key word for this symbol is metamorphosis. In spiritual terms, this implies initiation, meaning entering a higher realm of conscious existence and thereby joining a sacred company. This as above, so below connection, this Aquarian age, matriarchal, Aquarian, divine feminine, and how it lifts us into a higher realm of consciousness, of existence. And we get there after a state of transition, reinvention. Next up, let me know in the comments how this is resonating with everyone. It's quite fascinating. I love this week. And it's very powerful. And while we're here, let me before we move on from this, because that was the symbol for Venus. And number three from the unseen was On the Wings of Love. It's a beautiful song, and I didn't write it down, so I apologize. I'll put it in the notes who it's by. But I heard On the Wings of Love, and it's number three, so it's the Trinity. And Venus, and then Venus and Pisces, and that it's exalted. Olivia is saying, resonating with me, and I sure need it. Yeah, same here. It's a beautiful moment. So On the Wings of Love, Venus and Pisces, and of course, exalted, that Venus and Pisces is exalted. And it's at its highest, Venus is an indicator of spirituality and worldly wisdom. So when she's exalted in Pisces, it's an indicator of spirituality and worldly wisdom. And so it's this message of on the wings of love, only the two of us together flying high. You can apply this to a relationship. You can reply this, meaning a love interest. You can apply this, only the two of us together flying high. Also, in addition to, and perhaps more importantly, only the two of us, Source, God, Soul Source, your soul and you, that relationship as well. On the wings of love, only the two of us together flying high. Because that illustrates and demonstrates, it embodies this exalted form, this indicator of spirituality and worldly wisdom, and this next epic, this next era of the Aquarian Age. It is literally, they're showing, it's like, it is as though we will be floating on clouds, on the wings of love, this higher, it's the ideal. The ideal becomes the new reality. We've talked about that a lot. It's the fact that love conquers all. Love is the root of all. And thereby, it's not airy-fairy. It's not BS. It's not, oh, that's not the way the real world works, dear James. No, that's the illusion. That's the illusion that we actually believe that it doesn't work that way. It does work that way. We just have to embody it, choose it, be it. Truth and action. Olivia saying, on the wings of a pure white dove, he sends his pure whole love from a movie. From above or from a movie. Yes, so you get the point. And I'll post the song in the comments on Facebook, On the Wings of Love. It's a beautiful, beautiful song, and it embodies this entire moment. Because they, the unseen, the cosmos, the astrology, is speaking to this planetary pileup, shake, rattle, and roll. So seismic, shaking the tree, and going with the flow. Here's Saturn. So Saturn on our astrological chart is at 12 degrees Pisces. In the sanctuary of an occult brotherhood, newly initiated members are being examined and their character tested. The keynote is the ever-repeated challenge presented to the individual by the group in which they have claimed acceptance, the challenge to prove themselves and their ability to assume responsibility effectively. So we're a part of a group. The group is humanity. We're a part of the whole. We are part of the life force. And so here it's saying, at any level of activity, sooner or later, life itself demands of the individual that he or she stand up clearly and unequivocally to the ideal they themselves have declared publicly their own. At the occult level, cult meaning wisdom, at the occult level, the testing seems to be controlled and irrevocable. The initiate has become a constituent part of an integrated field of mental, spiritual activity. They are therefore controlled by the structural order of the group. See, we come in, we're born, we're a part of this constituent part of an integrated field. Here we are, 8 billion souls on the planet. They are no longer seeking. Having found their place, they must prove themselves able to fulfill the function associated with it. Soul purpose. Our purpose is greater than ourselves. They are no longer free as an individual. For they have become a part of an integral whole operating under structural principles of immense antiquity. See, this isn't about me, 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 me. Ego, mind, personality stuff. This is about being in service to our soul, that our purpose is greater than ourselves. And thereby, with that in mind, as the custodian. I'm the custodian of my life. I'm the custodian of my relationships, my interactions, my speech, my words, my actions, my thoughts, because it's greater than myself. And how does that then parlay into my destiny, my purpose? But it's not an ego mind personality driven purpose and destiny. It's a soul driven purpose and destiny. And this is Saturn, the symbol for Saturn, the great teacher. This second symbolic stage of unfoldment stands in contrast to the first in that the individual is now bound by collective laws and traditions. At a mundane political or business level, they are the junior executive incorporated into a hierarchical institution. They must at all times prove their worth. Qualification is the apt keyword. So we're always, Saturn is there testing us, teaching us, and testing us. Are you qualified? And remember, God doesn't call the qualified. He, she, they qualify the called. And so we've all been called. And so this is a message and a lesson in stepping out of our ego mind personalities, masks, identities, labels, all of this illusion and BS to stand in the purity of our truth, of our authentic nature, our soul, and say, okay, soul source connection, okay, God, okay, symphony, who am I? Allow me to connect that and lead with your soul. So this was this chart that we had here. Let me bring up the astrological chart, just showing you again. This is the Pisces new moon that happened on Sunday, the 10th of March. So here's the symbol for the moon and the sun. And it is Pisces 21 degrees. It says, under the watchful and kind eye of a Chinese servant, a girl caresses a little white lamb. The keynote is growth in consciousness in its earliest tactile awareness of the wonders of unsophisticated living. This symbol, as we get into it, is talking about a reinvention. It's talking about the new. This symbol recalls the one for phase 174 of Virgo 24, Mary and her little lamb. But it occupies a different position in the sequence, and a new factor is added, the Chinese servant. According to the occult tradition, the original Chinese race was an extension of the humanity or root race preceding ours. So again, they are acting as the custodians. They are the ancestors. So according to occult tradition, the original Chinese race was an extension of the humanity or root race preceding ours. Thus, the stress upon the biological factors of family and ancestors and on the dualism of the yang and yin interplay. The quote Chinese servant represents the past as a servant of the new evolution. This, the white lamb suggests the sign of all beginnings, Aries. And white meaning pure, innocent, new. This new evolution is just about to begin during the late Pisces phase of the year cycle. It is as yet an ideal, a pure, innocent, ideal loveliness. The girl discovers the new feeling of the touch of wool and of animal warmth. The preceding fivefold sequence began with a symbol suggesting the inspiring revelation of new truths or facts, which the creative person is seeking to formulate. It's a knowing, it's truth. Truth speaks for itself. It needs no explanation. It just comes in. It's true. It's apparent. It's self-evident. Now we witness another kind of discovery, a sensuously emotional discovery, perhaps a presentiment of the mother feeling, divine mother. This is it's a presentiment. It's just before it all happens. This symbol brings together past and future, past versus future, success versus failure, new versus old, what we are releasing versus what we will gain. So it brings together the past and the future, and overlapping of levels. The Chinese servant kindly watching the innocent pure girl, the girl caressing the innocent pure lamb. There is charm and ingenuousness in the scene. A vision of innocent pure hope. A hope for a future that can only be felt almost naively or natively as well. So see, there's an innocence and a purity and a hope for the future that's felt, it's known, it's intuited. And that is the beauty of this new moon, this Pisces new moon that arcs out, these energies arc out for another 6 months. Moving forward, here's the Neptune Kazemi that comes up on this coming Sunday on the 17th, where it's literally Neptune is in the heart of the sun. And it's Pisces 28, and it says, a fertile garden under the full moon reveals a variety of full-grown vegetables. The keynote is the full satisfaction of the individual's basic needs. The full satisfaction of the individual's basic needs. This symbol would seem a duplication of the preceding one, but if it is related to the first of this series, its meaning becomes clear. What is stressed now is not the full moon itself or its light, but the moon's power to call forth the instinctive urge for growth. Many things respond in many different ways. The symbol refers to a typical garden, not to a field. Such a garden contains a variety of plants, herbs, and vegetables grown specifically to fill an equal variety of human needs and tastes, individuality. However, it's the light of the moon, it's the pull of the moon that is stressed because it's calling us forth, it's instinctual. In this sense, this third symbol combines the meanings of the first two. It is a symbol of abundance, an abundance fitted to individualized requirements and wants. So here again, when they're talking about ain't no sunshine when she's gone, the divine feminine, Demeter, Persephone, that it's about hope, goodness, purity, love, fertility, abundance. And here, the symbol for Neptune's Kazemi coming up is this fertility and abundance to the individuals, meaning that we will individually receive the abundance, the taste, the thing, the joys, the happiness, the things that bring us happiness and joy, because they're unique and individual to each of us, and yet collectively they ripple out. It's energetic, so it will be harmonic in that way. Now Mercury, I'm going to bring up the astrological chart again. See, Mercury is leading that whole cluster, that pile up, that planetary pile up. Mercury is at 0 degrees Aries. It literally, 0 degrees Aries, begins the astrological year. And here's Mercury, the messenger, at the forefront, leading the way. And this is a very powerful Sabian symbol. A woman just risen from the sea, a seal is embracing her. The keynote is emergence of new forms and of the potentiality of consciousness. So new forms. Reinvention, something based on the old, women, a woman, divine feminine, the sea of life, the soma, the wholeness of all. This is the first of the 360 phases of a universal and multi-level cyclic process, which aims at the actualization of a particular set of potentialities. All of the Sabian symbols by Dane Redier, this is from Dane Redier, an astrological mandala. All of these symbols. There's one Sabian symbol to each degree of the astrological wheel, 360 of them. And so it's a cyclic process, and it's a set of potentialities. These potentialities in the Sabian symbols refer to the development of humankind's individualized consciousness, the consciousness of being an individual person with a place and a function, a destiny. And in the planetary organism of the Earth, and in particular, and in a particular type of human society and culture. So these symbols tell stories. That's why they're so fascinating and hopefully empowering for all of you. Because at each given moment, we can look at a orary chart, an event chart, and see where the astrological symbols are and apply the Sabian symbols, and those Sabian symbols tell us a story, like they are right now. To be individually conscious means to emerge out of the sea of generic and collective consciousness, which to the emerged mind appears to be unconsciousness. So from out of chaos, the immortal waters, into Earth, a incarnate existence. Pardon me. Such an emergence is the primary event. It is the result of some basic action, a leaving behind, an emerging from a womb or matrix, here symbolized by the sea. Such an action is not to be considered, pardon me, is not to be considered a powerful positive statement of individual being. In the beginning is the act, but it is often an imperceptible, insecure act. The small, tender germ out of the sea does not loudly proclaim its existence. It has to pierce through the crust of the soil still covered with the remains of the past. It is all potentiality and a minimum of actual presence. The image that came to me about this was when a child is born, yes, they may cry and so forth, but they are not proclaiming their existence, their ego, mind, personalities. It's a very intimate childbirth between the mother and the child and the bevy of nurses and doctors and practitioners. You know, it is a very intimate act, a vulnerable act, and a stressful act. And so it is not something where it's one where everybody is acting as one. They are not acting as individuals. No one is screaming, you know, of their identity in that moment. In the symbol, therefore, the emergent entity is a woman, symbolically speaking, a form of existence still close to the unconscious depths of generic biological nature, filled with the desire to be, rather than self-assertion. The woman is seen embraced by a seal because the seal is a mammal which once had experienced a biological, evolutionary, but relatively unconscious emergence, yet which retraced its steps, reinvention, and returned to the womb of the sea. The seal, therefore, represents a regressive step. It embraces the woman who has emerged because every emergent process at first is susceptible to failure. This process is indeed surrounded by the memory, the ghosts of the past failures during previous cycles. So think about this in our own individual lives. Future versus past, success versus failure, new versus old. How our past, there's this ghosts of past failures during previous cycles that may keep us from advancing because we are susceptible to failure. But in actuality, what's required? Truth and action. Move forward. The impulse upward is held back by regressive fear or insecurity. The issue of the conflict depends on the relative strength of the future ward and the past ward forces. See, have courage and be kind. Advance. Truth and action. Advance. The strength of the future, of the new, of success. The possibility of success and that of failure is implied throughout the entire process of actualization. Every release of potentiality contains this twofold possibility. It inevitably opens two paths. One leads to perfection in consciousness. Perfection meaning truth, purity, connection. The other to disintegration. The return to the undifferentiated state, the state of humus, manure, cosmic dust, death. Because we're buying into an illusion. Meaning to the symbolic great waters of space, to chaos. This symbol refers to the impulse to be. So the impulse to be and how it gets that impulse to be, I am. Not ego, mind, personality, I am, you know. But the impulse to be means I am. It's the image, it's our mantra. It's the image of the lion. Resting peacefully and yet fully themselves. Every ounce of I mean, just, I don't know, that, you know, like the power that is embodied in this lion, and yet the peace, the courage, the tranquility. That is the impulse to be. It is not the impulse to be an egomaniac, a narcissist. That is not that impulse to be. That's the shadow side of it. So as we're rounding up here, we're going to finish with these last two and then our quote. The last two, they are on the far side of the chart. I'm bringing it up. It's on the far side. It's Lilith and the South Node. With Lilith, a Ouija board, the keynote, the ability to contact deeper recesses of the unconscious psyche and sensitiveness to psychic intimations and omens. So this is connecting to our intuition, to our soul source connection, the unseen. The Ouija board is to be considered here a modern device similar to many ancient instruments used for divination and prophecy. Certain states of threshold consciousness are stimulated by such a use, and what the experience produces may vary greatly in quality and in origin. The release of unconscious material has lost the explosive force pictorialized in the preceding symbol. Yet at this stage, there is still no conscious or willful control over what reaches the ego consciousness. This symbol is at best a stage of transition, which stresses a passive openness to the unknown. The glamour of it may subtly pervert the mind of the aspirant. So the intrigue, the glamour of it, this is where the rubber meets the road. Intuiting for people. Being in your soul source connection, a clairvoyant, a psychic, an intuitive, when we engage these divine gifts, tools, it's like the doctor's oath, do no harm. It is with absolute reverence and purity and goodness and truth. They are never to be used in an illicit manner. So there's no glamour. There may be awe and wonder and reverence, but not glamour. The glamour of it may subtly pervert the mind of the aspirant. But in some cases, this can be the first manifestation of inner guidance. The difficulty is to correctly evaluate what or who does the guiding. See, it's about knowing, it's about maintaining purity. It is about and it being absolute. It is non-negotiable. So that when you know, you have great clarity in knowing that how you utilize your divinity, your divine gifts, how you connect, and the way you use them is with reverence and purity and goodness and do no harm. And thereby, you don't have a shadow aspect prevail. And last but not least, and we had this in a couple shows again, the South Node is holding at that degree. It's 18 degrees Libra, and it's the two men placed under arrest, a breakdown in the constructive relationship between the individual and society, and the expectable result. And at the end of the day, what this symbol speaks to is, and it says, negative as the image may seem, one may see implied in it the power in every individual to assume social risks to express their convictions or deepest desires. Nevertheless, one thing is needed, facing the consequences. So it says, while there is individuality and a healthy ego-mind personality, however, when utilizing nefarious elements, oppressing, suppressing, lying, diminishing, you know, all of these shadow aspects and elements, you may do so. However, know that you must face the consequences of that, because the actual symbol is two men placed under arrest. because it's a breakdown in the constructive relationship between an individual and society. Society functions properly because there is trust and truth and decency. Absent those things, it's just mayhem and chaos and anarchy. So these symbols, this Pisces new moon, to wrap this all up and put a big bow on it, these symbols are speaking to us about, and it's number 5 from the unseen, the age of Aquarius and the Tropic of Cancer. And the Tropic of Cancer, this is something very interesting, and this is from Ian Ridpath's, I'll post this. But in the Tropic of Cancer, there are particular stars, and there's a mass of stars. Two of the stars are known as the asses, meaning the donkeys. And then there's this cluster of stars that's known as the manger. It harks back to, you know, Master Jesus being born in a manger, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, this kind of biblical narrative. And then the Tropic of Cancer is the latitude on Earth at which the sun appears overhead at noon on the summer solstice, June 21st. In the time, and it's about 23rd, it's the 23rd and point and a half lateral northerly circle of latitude. And it's also known as the Northern Tropic. But the point is, and they're saying, in the time of the ancient Greeks, the sun lay among the stars of Cancer on this date. But the wobble of the Earth on its axis, called precession, has since moved the summer solstice from Cancer through neighboring Gemini into Taurus. And here we are, so the summer solstice on June 21st will be in Taurus. This is where Jupiter and Uranus are, the great benefactor and the higher mind of Mercury, expect the unexpected. So here we have this age of Aquarius and the Tropic of Cancer. And what came with this is eternal spring. What the phrase that came was eternal spring. And so think, have this image, we're at the 23rd and a half latitude line around the top of the Earth, around the globe. It's the highest lateral latitude on the globe, north. So on the pinpoint of it. Imagine at some previous point in existence, this eternal spring. It's not summer, fall, winter, it's eternal spring, this perfect paradise. And then it had a double entendre meaning, because it was both about climate, eternal spring, a season, and living waters, eternal spring, like the living waters, soma, the life force. That's what this whole planetary pileup, shake, rattle, and roll, truth and action, all of it is ushering us in, leading us to this age of Aquarius and the Tropic of Cancer, this utopian state, this eternal spring, paradise, living, the return of, when I say the return of living waters, the descent of the Holy Dove, the Holy Spirit, baptism by fire, renewal, reinvention. Last but not least, and we're closing it all out, is our beautiful quote. And I love this because we have used it before. It's just a beautiful reminder. Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. And this is by Chief Seattle. So it's to remember, we are the guest at the table. We are not the master weaver. We are the guest. We are the custodian of this life experience. We are the custodian of the earth. And we are the custodian of one another. So with that, with this planetary pileup, shake, rattle, and roll, have courage and be kind, and we will see you next week as this all continues to unfold, because we are moving closer and closer to the eclipse season, the Mercury retrograde that has an interesting twist to it, kind of an April Fool's meets Christmas twist to it, and the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Until next week, be well, everyone.
You've been listening to Dear James Live. Gain intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions and so much more by tuning in next week and visiting DearJames.com.